Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a Friday on the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of pre-owned inventory, and a sales staff that, whether you select the pre-owned or the brand new car, they're not there for either sale. They're there for you to make sure you make the right decision. And then you have a service department that is there for you for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, and with the simple routine maintenance. It's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, every Friday show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is time now to stock up for another hot and humid weekend, but the hottest of hot that we've seen so far. Temperature is going to be north of 95, just shy of the century mark. And, of course, this weekend, too, you might be heading up to Pocono for the NASCAR race. I'm heading up there. Maybe I'll see you up there, too. I know we got a bunch of winners this week across all of our stations, but you definitely want to stock up for that. I know I am, and that's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, water, wine cooler, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. ESPN's John Crispin joining us today, getting his take on all the realignment news and notes, and the latest on that. And the King, of course, is back with us today with our headlines of the week. I do want to start out, though, with something local, as we have a Danville grad and Braden Fosnot, who was now part of the Phillies organization, which is a really cool story. He signed yesterday with the team. His mom posted that on Twitter. We had the story on WKOK.com, too. His mom posted on social media today. And he'll report to Class A Clearwater for 6 weeks and had been pitching for the Tread and Thunder of the MLB Draft League. So I want to get Steve's take. I didn't realize that, so I want to see what Steve knows about him, too, and what he's seen. But he's doing pretty well with Trent in 2-1 record, 3.38 ERA in 8 innings, 11 strikeouts before that. He had a very, very good career at Westchester. Helped them get to the Division II World Series. Had like 130 strikeouts in his career. 2017 Danville grad, so congratulations to Braden Fosnot, as he is now a Philly. He grew up going to Phillies games, and he's kind of been through a lot for the last couple of years and getting to this point. Westchester wasn't his first choice, I believe. He was set to go to Penn State and not even do baseball, but he had several setbacks along the way. Ended up getting a chance to play in community college, and then he just kind of worked his way up to there. Then ended up going to Westchester. After his dad had a stroke, I believe was the story, and he had to stay back. So a lot of things changed for him in the time being. Plus, he had COVID in there. It's a really, really great story. and he's getting now a chance to fulfill his professional baseball dream, and better yet, getting to sign with the team that he grew up with. Signing with the Phillies today. Going to go down to Clearwater for 6 weeks. So congratulations to Braden Foss. Now, that is just an awesome story to lead off the day with here on this Friday. So we got John Crispin today of ESPN coming up. Got the King coming up today. And also following this too, you know, we had a big discussion yesterday with Neil Coulong about the Deshaun Watson situation. Well, he reported to training camp today in Cleveland as the team continues to wait and see if he'll face a suspension this season. Of course, we're due to see that really any day now, because that was seemed to be when that was going to happen, was right around when the Browns were starting training camp, and Watson is there, so now we await what happens after that. We'll continue after this here on the Steve Jones Show on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
I thought the Yankee Astro series went well. At least you scored.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah, that was not good.
Positives and everything. It's interesting because, you know, they asked Aaron Boone about, what does this mean? And he's like, what do you mean, what does it mean? Don't read too much into it. They do have a problem because the Astro pitching staff, I think the Yankees for the most part, except for game two yesterday, for the most part, the Yankees have pitched well against Houston because they pitch well against everybody, but they can't score against Houston.
All-time team batting average low against Houston of 151 for their series.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the story on that.
I've now fully changed my mind on the trade deadline here, Steve. They need another bat. I don't want to say desperately, but they definitely need another bat. Preferably a guy that can get on base and be more of a contact hitter, not just a power guy. A guy like Juan Soto could be that, but as you and I talked about yesterday, that's pretty much not going to be realistic for where the Yankees are. They need a bat like that, a guy that can just get on base and not necessarily need another power guy. That's the kind of guy they need. So if they can get that and or another starting pitcher, I'm happy from the trade deadline.
Or somebody that can hit a home run after the fourth.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I have a lot of fun with that one. So.
Well, the one thing we do know that we shouldn't breed into is Domingo Germán stinks, has lost it completely, and should not be on this roster. Because maybe the Yankees have a chance to win that game yesterday if he just didn't have any lack of confidence at all.
Everybody has holes. No, I meant that, sir. I mean that seriously. Everybody has holes. I mean, it's hard to fill all the holes, especially when you get to fours and fives in your rotation or in middle guys. No, it's not easy.
Oh, I know.
There's not enough depth in the sport that can handle it. And that's why I've talked repeatedly. You've got to have certain guys in your, when it comes to the pitching part of it, there are certain guys that have to have if not a career year, one of their better years. How about that? To make a real difference. And that's been one of the bigger problems until the last couple of months with the Phillies. And the Phillies have been able to pitch better, but they couldn't get career years out of certain guys. Just couldn't. Or, if not a career year, one of your better years. And the Phillies, you know, lost some of that. But that's what you're looking to get. All right. We're going to have John Crispin on the show today. If anybody has a interesting view on USC and UCLA coming in, it would be him. He played at Penn State and he played at UCLA. Now, I think one of the keys to actually, for the moment, putting the brakes on any college football expansion for the SEC and for the Big Ten will be the TV deal. Once the TV deal is announced, now when that is, I don't know. Next week, next month, 2 months, I don't know. At that point, the numbers are baked. Ooh, there was a power outage that briefly took Yes off the air yesterday during the Astros game. A break for Yankee fans, that way they could not witness the carnage. Wow.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up!
Yeah, they're part of the Sinclair Group, and they had a major outage in their Atlanta headquarters yesterday. And it happened right before the start of Game 1 of the doubleheader.
Oh, so you missed the two Astro runs scored early. All right. I always think of the positives. So, I think that once the numbers are announced, which means the contracts are either in principle or signed, then I believe that you will see the deal happen. I think that will put a halt to what the Big Ten's going to do. Because at this point, you are not... you're not going to invite somebody else in because they're going to dilute the number. And not because they don't bring value or anything like this. Nothing to do with that. In other words, you've signed the contract. Here's your number. Well, at that point, your number is now etched in stone. It's just a question of the length of the contract. So I think that actually puts the brakes on anybody else moving once the Big Ten announces its deal, unless they have a clause in there, like a Notre Dame clause or something, which is entirely possible. But I think that's, you notice that since Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC, have you noticed a couple things? One, has the SEC added anybody else?
Nope.
Number two, and this goes to the grant of rights. This goes to the grant of rights. Have you noticed Texas and Oklahoma? Have you noticed that they've left the Big 12?
Not yet.
Right. Exactly. And the reason is, and this now goes to the point of the ACC grant of rights, it's expensive to get out of, and as much money as Texas and Oklahoma are about to make. As much money as they're about to make, it's still not enough for them to see if they can get an early buyout of their grant of rights. I think that tells you a lot now about the ACC, and it tells you a lot about movement like that. Same story with USC and UCLA. They're not coming in until August 2nd, 2024. And that tells you a lot. Instead of coming in and starting next year, which would be the first year of the TV deal, as of right now, they're not coming in until a little bit more than 2 years from now. Again, grant of rights and fulfilling the Pac-12 contract. The fact that those four schools are not playing football this year in their respective conferences, you know, their new conferences, I think tells you everything about how strong the grant of rights happens to be. And they don't feel like messing with it. And I also think that you're going to see movement other places. Okay? Like maybe with the Pac 10 or 12, maybe with the Mountain West, maybe with Conference USA, maybe with, you know, some of the smaller conferences you might see, maybe with the American. That's where you're going to see the movement. Not with the Big Ten and the SEC. That's the way I see it. That puts Washington and Oregon in a really tough spot. John Crispin on the show today. Talk to him next half hour. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Look, we need a lot of cold beverages right now. Okay. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. Last night as the Yankee game was going on and they're about to lose both games, I pictured you being a basket case.
Yeah, I was not happy.
You deserve happiness.
Well, thank you.
So how about a great wife, two great kids? There you go. Okay, there you go.
I mean, I know I got that.
Well, what more do you need? You got a great job. Great spot on this show. All the pain that goes with it.
It's just nice to have your teams winning.
Sure. All right. We're going to what, John Crispin here?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's bring Johnny C. in. Always great to have you with us on the show, Johnny. If anybody knows about the culture of UCLA, you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was, you know, in a world where really nothing surprises you, this was one of those moments where it was a surprise.
Yeah.
So let's start with this. How do you think, and the people that you know at UCLA, how are they reacting to this?
You know, I think it's a little shock for them, too, because there has been a lot of pride on the West Coast about the Pac-12, even though the Pac-12 has been so down. I would say the Pac-12 has been down more in terms of national recognition and national relevance, more so than it has been in competition.
Yeah.
In competition, the Pac-12 is great for a number of sports, and a lot of them happen to not be football and basketball, but basketball has been really strong. Football has been good, not to the level of when it was Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and before that Carson Palmer, and they had just, right. They were on a roll. Oregon, the same thing. I think it takes time for them to get back to that, and this might be a move towards that. I think it's been shock because it just doesn't feel right, and I think that's something that's okay to say. Like I said it to somebody, I said, "What do you think about this?" I said, first, I got to tell you how I feel. How I feel is this is weird. It's weird to think that the team I transferred to that was in the Pac-12, which is as far west as you could get, you know, we're looking at the ocean for crying out loud, is going to be in the Big Ten. It's weird. But then when you start to sift through the weird part of it, you start to go, well, what world are we living in today that this could happen? And the world that we're living in today is a business that's now allowed to be a business. You know, before NIL, before a lot of this, the social issues that we're talking about in sports, within sports, you know, before all this pay for play, before name, image, and likeness, it was like a business that, you know, was under the table. It was almost like if you're going to cheat, you do it under the table, and we're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking about cheating on top of the table, right? That's the way I look at NIL. So you have people building collectives, and they say, you know what, it's a business, so be it. We're going to be the biggest business.
Right.
Well, if that's where it's going, then you have to align yourself with the biggest and the best that can get you on a level with them. And quite frankly, I think those in the Pac-12 know how mismanaged the Pac-12 conference has been.
Yes.
You have a conference, CEO, right? Are you kidding me? Of all the conferences, the one that's struggling, Larry Scott wants to be recognized as the CEO of the Pac-12 and fly private jets everywhere and big suites. It gets to a point where the schools go, wait a second, we're the one funding this. And the really successful schools, and when I say successful, I don't just mean wins and losses. I mean media rights and television markets and all that. They sit there and go, wait a second, you can't do this without us. And I think it creates an environment for people like USC and UCLA to say, hey, we'll take this show elsewhere if there's a better option.
Yeah.
And you're at a point now where either you do it or you get left behind. And I think it's interesting with USC and UCLA because they're in the L.A. media market. And you now expand the Big Ten brand, which I don't even think it's going to be the Big Ten brand when it's all said and done, because there's going to be too many people from all over the country in it. It's hard to call it the Big Ten. It's hard to call it Big Ten country. Right? What's Big Ten country anymore? What, Westwood? Yeah, I mean, like, downtown L.A.? No, it's not Big Ten country. Like, Big Ten's Midwesterners, and we at Penn State were thrilled to be a part of that group, you know, because I think Western PA, we can identify with that, right?
Sure.
So you kind of have that natural fit in the Big Ten. Now you're starting to say, well, it's a business, so we go wherever. And the question is, where does it end? You know, where does it end? Does it end with the Big Ten? Does it end with two power conferences that are ultimately a conglomeration of everybody led by the Big Ten and the SEC, which is kind of where I think it's all going. But I think it's sad to a degree. I think it's just reality. I think we progress too quickly as human beings these days. Technology has done wondrous things for us, but it's also made us move too fast at a pace that we can't sustain. And that lack of sustainability is what concerns me the most.
All right, so I want to take you back to your time at Westwood, which would have been 2002, 3, and 4. Would that be right? Right, that's pretty close.
I was there. Yeah. Oh, I redshirted 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
Your Joe was picked up by the Lakers.
Yep.
Now, you know, I had better seats at the Laker game than Joe did, right? Joe was in a suit sitting on the floor because Shaq took up too much space, and
no,
I had nice seats.
No surprise.
I had nice seats.
How many sports were at UCLA when you were there as compared to now? In other words, the student-athletes that were on that campus compared to now. It has to be fewer student-athletes today than when you were there, right?
You know, it's funny. That's a great question. It's not something – and I'll admit to this first before I answer the question. When you're there, you are so solely focused on yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
You can't help it. You're a kid. You're just – you know, you're focused on yourself, your group. It's hard for me to say because there were a lot of sports that existed, particularly because of Title IX with the football team,
right.
You know, that offset. There were a lot of other sports that existed that you didn't know were sports, treated as sports, whether
right.
cheerleading had scholarships, whether there was a women's fencing team. There was a lot of that. Sometimes it was just more scholarships than the women's soccer team. But
men's gymnastics would have been on campus at that time with you.
Men's gymnastics was on campus
right.
at that
so
time.
So my point is they've dropped – sports, and with the pandemic combined with everything else, they're running a $102.8 million deficit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can talk about the modern, how modern times, but sometimes isn't there a financial reality?
Well, the financial reality is we're going to find it pretty quickly, and there's two sports on campus that make you money now, and that's interesting given the fact that, look, baseball, incredibly successful.
Yeah.
UCLA softball, incredibly soccer,
yep.
successful.
Yeah.
Track and field, come on. I mean, you got incredibly successful programs. I mean, more national championships, I believe, still than anybody in the country. But those are going to become activities because football and basketball is soon to be run solely as a business. And the question is, if you're going to run a business, why do you take things that lose you money? And the interesting thing is, you know what those things are? Those things are amateur athletics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, amateur athletics. This is where Joe and I do agree on something.
Wait a minute. That's breaking news. It's breaking news.
We agree, but how we get there is always different.
Yes.
You know, my way is way more fun. Joe's is a little bit more linear.
Yeah, that's right.
So we look at it and we say, like this was inevitable because amateur athletics is supposed to be something that you either pay for or just break even on. But it's amateur athletics isn't something that you make hundreds of millions of dollars
right.
on, let alone billions of dollars on. When you start making that kind of money, it's no longer amateur. It's someone's making money.
Right.
So we knew it had to go this way. But it's interesting. What I see happening is the NCAA basically spinning off and losing their two biggest assets and trying to find a way to make it work with other sports that still have value to real people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where...
Yeah, it's a good point.
Like, it's so funny in a time where all we do is... And this is not as political as people hear it because it's political rhetoric, but it's actual human terminology. We talk so much about equality, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to talk about equality. Everybody's the same. We all want the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when football and basketball say, well, screw everybody else. We're making all the money.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, it's like, well, you went from the 99% to the 1% and said, forget about the 99% anymore.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening in basketball. We're becoming really hypocritical when we say, well, it's about fairness, about getting your fair share. And well, no one's going to stop at their fair share. Plato told us that thousands of years ago.
Yep.
You know, democracy doesn't work because people always want control. He wasn't wrong. I'm sorry. He wasn't wrong. And this has played out throughout human history. And people will always want more, and that's okay. I understand it. We're in a business. That's fine. But don't hide behind fairness and equality when ultimately it's about control. And football and basketball are going to control the most because they make the most money. Everybody else will be sacrificed. It's a shame because I think there are great things that come from the entire cultural environment that is college athletics, man. Some of my best friends, they didn't play the sport I played. Some of the people that I looked up to the most, respected the most, they didn't play the sport I played.
Yep.
And they may never get the attention or the credit for being as great as they were, but, man, they worked hard, and they were part of that cultural environment, and I think that will be missed more so than anything else.
See, that's the part where when I look at USC and UCLA, that's the first thing I thought of. Well, the second thing I thought of, obviously, the fact that, you know, I broadcast football, basketball are going to be in. But then I thought about the fact that this TV contract is going to allow all those scholarships to still exist in the Big Ten and at UCLA and USC. Now, it may affect other schools, But all those scholarships are all going to be preserved because now you at least have enough money to cover everything. And Penn State, which puts out its financial numbers every year in athletics, if you look at the bottom line, like whatever, quote, profit it is not, I mean, it's not even eight figures. Right? It's always in the seven-figure range where they're doing whatever they can, where they're getting a rainy day fund, which in 2020, by the way, it was a monsoon. But, a rainy day fund, and that's about what they keep in reserve is a rainy day fund for stuff, and they're not taking the money and going to a Swiss bank account.
Yeah, yeah. But how about, I mean, you're talking about preserving scholarships. At UCLA, I am almost certain that 100% of their scholarships are fully endowed.
Right. Well, you know, and Penn State, in fact, is number three overall, I think, in athletic endowments nationally,
yes.
I believe.
I mean, so, but it comes down to it, and you say, all right, well, what's a scholarship? Because a scholarship doesn't matter as much to kids in football and basketball anymore. Like, they would say, keep your scholarship, just let me play. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say all of them. I'll speak for everybody. But of the big ticket kids who think they're worth hundreds, if not $1 million every year, the scholarship doesn't have value. It's the opportunity to make the money. The scholarship still has value to those kids to say, look, what's a professional career as a fencer? I don't know. I still got to get a job if I want to pursue
right.
it.
Excellent.
Like, the scholarship is everything. And the scholarship to me was gosh, that was the ultimate achievement. I got a college scholarship, Steve, to play college basketball, to represent Penn State. I didn't represent UCLA that well. I think they forgot that I'd be even there, and that was selective, just not remembering that. But it's okay. I've always said, like, Penn State was me because Penn State was home. I claim Penn State because Penn State always felt like home. But part of that was the environment we were in. And at that time, football and basketball were above everything else financially. But it didn't feel that way. It only feels that way today because we talk about numbers today, man. Like, we talk about what everybody makes.
Yeah.
Like, it is our freaking business. And I don't get that, Steve. I don't get why a guy signs a contract and it has to be, you know, headline news, how much he signed for. I don't get why we have to talk about why coaches make or how much coaches make. He signed for this. This is the specifics of his contract. Like, we are all up in each other's business.
Yeah.
And in doing so, we've turned the whole thing into a business.
Yeah.
So we celebrate the money, and then we put the money up on a pedestal. And that's ultimately what we want on every level, including the kids coming into college.
15 years ago, I was speaking to a Penn State club in Camp Hill, and this was the time, and this is after you left, but the Patriot News was trying to get Joe's salary. Right? And the reason they wanted to is it would open the door to get, like, the old main salaries. I mean, it was a means to an end. And I was speaking to a club in Camp Hill, and I was asked about how curious I was about Joe's salary. And I looked at him, I said, well, first of all, as a friend, I hope he's doing great. I said, but I don't really need to know his number. I said, the most important thing is I need to know my number because my number pays my bills. His number doesn't.
Like, it's like this Instagram world where we project everything that we want people to see also includes some sort of, you know, oversharing of my personal finances. It's the strangest thing to me, but we celebrate it. We put it on a pedestal. And then we tell kids, don't value that.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that I get where I just go, all right, guys, you want to complain about the world we're in, yet you created it. You know, I don't know what Jerry Dunn made as a coach.
Yeah.
He was my head coach. I never asked my coach or he inquired about what kind of money he made. Had I known, look, he's doing pretty well, but he's not he's the lowest paid coach in the conference, I might have been a more decent human being.
Yeah.
And try to make his life better, not be a miserable pain in the butt 19-year-old. at least when I didn't score, you know, when I scored, I was a peach,
yes,
man.
You
I was
were.
A great guy. I'll even play defense. But no, I just think the world is so different. Like, money is the front page. Like, if you go for a job, I mean, I talk to kids today, Steve. Going for an internship, and the first question they ask is money. And I'm just like, oh, man, that's not your fault. You know what I mean? I think that's the thing. We like to point the finger at kids and say, these kids are selfish and greedy. And I'm saying, what about those oil profits?
Right.
What about our government with taxes? It doesn't. It didn't start with kids. It just trickled down that way.
Yeah, that's why everybody knows James's contract. As a friend, I hope James is doing awesome, but I don't need to know his numbers. Pat Kraft, I hope Pat is doing awesome financially, but I don't need to know his numbers. That's his business. That's just how I look at it, you know? Hey, John.
I don't even think it's weird to us anymore. I think it's at a point where we just keep going, there's that. That's crazy.
True.
You know, Juan Soto, $440 million. That's crazy. We can't even compute that.
I can't even put that in my mind. By the way, Mega Millions is coming up tonight. All right, so. John, as always, my friend, thanks so much. And I'm glad to hear you and Joe at least agreed on something, even though it wasn't the same path.
Yeah, we do. We agree, but it'll sound like an argument.
Perfect. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Steve.
John Crisman, ESPN. The suit's been begging to put out the financial terms of his contracts. Begging. And we are the ones that won't allow him to do it.
That's one of the most affectionate smooches of all time.
All right. We'll come back. More in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right. Great to have you with us. I mean, do we need to know how much money people make? Do we? Yeah, I don't. Of course, I drive you nuts. So.
I guess technically, no. It should be your own business. I see where you guys were going with that. Especially for this level. If pros, I think, are still a little bit of a different story, but you'd think college athletics, why should that really matter, no matter what level you're on, if you're thinking about that in that sense?
The key with coaches or an athletic director, the key part is how many years they signed for. After that, I don't care what the money number is, because especially for a coach, when you're recruiting, the recruits need to know how many years. At least I think that's the important part.